The scripture reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, 1 to 6. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
We're looking at this picture on the wall, and I wonder if for each of us, for those that can't see and maybe those on the podcast that are listening to this outside of today, there's a picture up there of a comfy couch that's really worn out. And it's actually got cracks in it. But I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've got the comfy couch, right? It may not always look that bold and that worn out. There's smoke coming off this one, Kylie, just to keep you up to date with that. But there's something about a comfy couch, isn't there? But I think this goes even further than just comfy. This is worn out, battered, bruised, been jumped on by probably a few kids. That wouldn't happen at your house, but my oath it does. All right, well, it did at our house. It certainly did at our house when our kids were younger and we were living in Bowen. There just seems to be something about couches that kids think they're trampolines. Yeah, let's blame the dog. But I wonder if there's anything else that you see in that picture today about our passage. You could call that couch an old faithful couch, couldn't you? It's stood the test of time when most wouldn't. It's been belted and bruised and battered. It's been all sorts of things. The problem with life is not that when you look in the advertisements for Super A-Mart and all of those other furniture shops, you never see a comfy couch like this. It's always pristine, right? Always the best. The problem, I think, with life is that we don't ever see life and see it for the true place at which it is. You see, that couch started off as one of those pristine couches, but life happens. And battering and bruising and enjoyment, a couple of snoozes on a Sunday afternoon have happened in that couch. That wouldn't happen at your place either, but it definitely happens at mine. And sometimes I'm even just resting my eyes. But that's what I do. And the other adults in our house can't sleep sitting up. I've been trying to teach her, really I have. Because I seem to be I have an innate spiritual gift in the area of sleeping anywhere. It doesn't matter. But Debbie, she said, no, if you're going to sleep, you lay down. And I get that. It certainly saves the stupor, stumbling, going to bed, that happens when you've got too comfy on the couch and everyone leaves you and goes to bed themselves. The one thing I get frustrated about, and it's one of the things that we struggle with within life, and we're going to look at where is our hope and in relation to those verses from this morning from Hebrews chapter 11. Last week we talked about the fact that at our church and at Fast Salvos, we want people to know that hope happens here, right? That hope happens here. So where are we going to find this hope? Well, I want to suggest this morning that we find hope in something like this couch. And you'll see where I'm heading in a moment. But the problem that we face in today's society is that we compare the life that we know of ourselves to the highlight reel of everybody else. Nobody goes downtown announcing or having it on a sandwich board or putting it on social media all that's going on for them. We wear masks. Although there are some people, and we could think of one or two or five, who seem to put everything that they do on social media. They don't think it's crazy now, but 15 years ago, they wouldn't have walked down the street with photos of all of their breakfast, lunch, and dinner on a sandwich board around their neck, would they? But they seem to do it now. And I'll be honest, I've taken a photo of a coffee or two as a memory for me, but it plays with my head that people go that far. But each to their own. If you want to embrace it, that's fine. But it's always their highlight reel. Do you you rarely see on social media or on sandwich boards down the street or people telling you from the street corner, my life is going rubbish at the moment. I am so stressed up to here. I have had it. I cannot handle life anymore. Actually, you know what? I think so lowly of myself that I want to be able to tell you all about it. In fact, I am struggling with not just thoughts about myself, but towards other people as well. I don't play nicely with others. Have you ever read that on social media? Have you ever seen that announced in the newsletter? Oh, I hope I haven't put it in there. You understand what I'm saying. We seem to have this place where we have two lives, the life that we have on the outside and then the struggle that we have on the inside. But then when we look at people's lives and we think, oh, they've got it all together, they've got a perfect life, look at all that, and you keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, you think to yourself, it's never bad at their place, never bad in their life. That's because you're seeing their highlight reel. And we're trying to compare our everyday life to their highlight reel. We're comparing our everyday life to the movie trailer, to the movie trailer that happens on the screen that gives you all the good bits. Have you ever been to the movies disappointed because you watch the trailer and go, "Whoa, I'd like to see that." You go to see it and it's rubbish because all the good bits are in the trailer. And it's just, there's all bad bits everywhere else. Mike Frost, as an Australian communicator, he suggests that our lives need to be a movie trailer for the kingdom come. Colonel Seth shared this morning about the fact that we are to match that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Our life needs to be a movie trailer for what living a life with Jesus looks like. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Well, they're nice places, aren't they? But what is Jesus actually saying here? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We understand what that means. And you will be my witnesses. You will tell people about what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus in Jerusalem. That's the people that we do know. In Judea, share to the people that we don't know. In Samaria, share with people who we don't usually hang around. Now, the Samaritans were the ones from the other side of the river, right? the other side of the road. You didn't hang around with the Samaritans. But Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you've got a message to give, a witness to give, you need to give it to the people you like, the people you don't know, and even the ones that you don't even want to hang around because you might get unclean. And then it goes even further. It's not just the people you don't like, but it's to everyone. Neil nearly hijacked the sermon this morning in his sharing where he said, and that was okay, that happens more often than not here, and I think, do I preach, do I not preach, do I preach, do I not preach? Witness to all people everywhere. We are all created to be witnesses. Now, whether we are witnessing when what it means to be a Jesus follower when we're a fire officer or a teacher or someone who's retired and gets to do whatever they like whenever they like Colonel says, or whether you're whether you find yourself working in administrative roles, wherever you find yourself, we need to be witnessing to all people everywhere. Now, do we have faith enough for that? I want to go through a list in just a moment, a list of things where we might be able to share alongside. We're not saying announcing it from the corner of the street. We're saying that these are a list of things that might help us to be able to say, in the midst of this, I can tell you about our hope found in Jesus, in the midst of this. Now, we looked at the passage this morning from Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. So for us to be a place where hope happens here, we need to have a faith that God is going to move amongst us and we will receive His power. Do we believe that? I wonder if we go through life where we think to ourselves, I wonder if I might just maybe encounter Jesus today. I might encounter God's Spirit working in a space that I didn't see before. Or do we go into each and every day expecting to have an encounter with the living God? If I was brutally honest, there are many times when I just go through the motions of the day and get surprised more often than not because I'm not looking for it. Because I think sometimes we spend all of our time being busy that we don't take a space to hope for and a certainty of what we don't see. We're just busy. I've got the next thing to do on my to-do list. The way that I am wired is that I have a to-do list and I will not look at number 5 before I finish number 1. I don't even care. It's not even on my radar. I just go 1, 2, and so there's no space in there sometimes. There's no margin for what God wants to do in that space. It has taken me a long time within ministry and within life to understand that if I don't get to number 3, my day is not a failure. Because God interrupts and lets His plan play out sometimes, and my plan gets punted out the door. Anyone else have days like that where they think to themselves, best laid plans, and then God takes over? Oh, that's good. It's not just me. I wonder if we looked at this list that Hebrews chapter 11 is known as, in my mind, as the Hall of Fame list when it comes to people who have done well in life and have been counted as faithful. We see in that list a guy called Moses. Now, we're looking at all the good things that Moses did here. But anyone want to say, oh, I'm happy to follow in the footsteps of Moses because he was a premeditated murderer? Oh, that's probably not on his Facebook feed. He probably didn't post that for all the world to see when he looked left and looked right and killed that guy. What about David? The writer to the Hebrews says in verse 32, and can I tell you about more people? I haven't got time to, but I could tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. Are we saying for a second that these people are perfect? No, we're not. We're saying that they're people that in spite of their imperfections, in spite of their times where they maybe didn't tick all the boxes that they wanted to, in spite of them not getting through their to-do lists on 1, 2, or 50 days, they kept their eyes on Jesus. Keep their eyes on God. Do you think that Uriah would have said that David should make the hall of faith? Probably not. But here's a guy who is mentioned as the guy after God's own heart. This morning, I wonder if there are people in here who have experienced deep grief or loss or loneliness, have experienced pain of betrayal or divorce or a broken family, have experienced the death of a spouse, a child or a loved one, the ache of miscarriage or the ache of wanting children and not being able to have them. They've maybe felt like a failure as a parent, been through cancer, struggled with anxiety, depression, a phobia or mental health challenges, significant suffering that you cannot fix. Does anyone resonate with anything on that list? You see, there's the power in our story and in our witness that we can say that we are in our darkest moment and God was there. If we go around our lives and people only see our highlight reel, if people only see the best bits of our lives and we aren't vulnerable and honest and maybe, we're like that couch. Can you help me, Annette? Because I think I've just broken it. If we are more like that couch, right? And we let some of those cracks appear. Other people can see that we maybe have the courage that when we are belted down and bashed and bruised and maybe have holes in us too, just like that picture, that we join with the writer of that song that says, I raise a hallelujah. I'm convinced I will see Jesus in the midst of this when I can't see him right now. I'll tell you a funny story about falling asleep on the couch. It happened to me at Ballina. I have sleep apnea, for those that don't know. And so I have a significant gift before I was on a machine of being able to sleep anywhere, including at traffic lights whilst driving. Ask my wife. That did happen. The way you wake up from that is not with an alarm clock, and I wish it was. It was would have been much less scary for everybody else. But I was asleep on the couch this particular night. I didn't know I'd gone to sleep. Everyone went to bed. My parents were visiting. My mum turned off every light in the house. So when I woke up, I thought I was blind. And I was like, do I yell out to somebody? What do I do here? It took me ages. It took me ages to see even just an adjustment of light. You see, sometimes we don't get an opportunity for some of us, the darkness creeps in bit by bit by bit and we don't notice it until all the light is gone. But for other times, the light goes out like that and it gets snuffed out. And in the midst of that snuffing out of the light, we actually say, where is God in all of this? We join with Jesus who, when he hung on the cross, said, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Where are you? But isn't it great when we walk alongside others, when we share something of what we are going through, any of those things that I've said and more, And it isn't it great? It gives us a sense of strength. Sometimes a shared word of honesty and saying, actually, I don't have a highlight reel. I want to share something of my life with you. And it's not always easy for me. And in the midst of it not always being easy, we speak the flicker of hope that they need. In that one moment when we say, I don't have the answers. I don't have all the answers. But I can tell you that God carried me. We share with others that our faith has been built because of a hope, because of a hope of what we see and a certainty of what we don't. There are some times in our lives where we think to ourselves, I can't see where God is in the midst of all of this. But our hope and our faith gives us that certainty. Have you ever had times in your lives, I sure have in mine, where I think to myself, where is God in all of this? And it's in the midst of those times where we have been able to share all of these things that I mentioned on the board with someone else, that they get to experience that you are not alone. I am not alone. It's in the midst of our mess that it allows us to speak a message of hope that God brings. Our mess allows us to speak about the message of hope that we've experienced. Our tests give us a testimony that God gives us a hope and a certain future. So for us to say that we are broken and we are dinted and bashed and maybe not like we perceive on that sandwich board that I talked about earlier or on a social media feed, how do we reconcile and sit with this verse from Ephesians chapter 2? For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Do we see ourselves as God's masterpiece? Do we see ourselves as the psalmist says, fearfully, wonderfully made, knitted together in our mother's womb? Or are we focusing on the broken bits, the dints? Are we allowing our dints, our scratches, and our cracks to define who we are, when we are God's masterpiece? Friends, I would hate for any of us to not be able to go out and to witness that we have a sure and certain hope in what God is doing amongst us. For us, we may see ourselves from time to time, maybe all the time, just like that chair that's up on the screen. But for each of us, we have a hope. And that hope is built on a faith that cannot be shaken because we keep our eyes on Jesus. Does that mean we're perfect? Have I mentioned perfection today? No. Because we are broken people trying to help other broken people journey with Jesus easier. Maybe by carrying them until that hurt or that injury or gives them a bit more strength. I shared a number of weeks ago and said that I'm just one beggar trying to show other beggars where the bread is, and
kind of resonate with that a little. That, you know, for me to be able to journey alongside others, I need to be able to share with them that, yep, I'm battered. Yep, I'm bruised. Yep, there's tears there. And for those that you journey alongside, I don't journey alongside them like you do. Is there people that you desperately want to be in this space where they can experience a freedom found in Jesus? Well, let's get off the comfy couch. Rise up, have courage to be vulnerable with those around us, to share with them that, yeah, I've gone through these things like I shared on the board. Yeah, I've gone through these. And I may be battered, I may be bruised, I may be belted down, but my God is bigger than my problems. I may not have all of the answers, but what I do know is that in the midst of my brokenness and our brokenness within our own lives, Debbie's and mine, we have had ministry opportunities where we've been able to stand alongside others and say, we don't understand your journey, but when we went through a journey, we can tell you about how God came near. And there's some powerful words, and it's a space that is sacred. And imagine if we all did that. Not just one or two, but if we all said, yep, I'm broken. Yep, I'm dented. Yeah, I've gone through some rough things. This morning, let's join with those heroes of the faith from Hebrews chapter 11. Rise up, take courage, and spread hope through our faith in Jesus.